Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio once again, doing Tara Rise study, wishing forward 7 moments Jesus prayed. And last week was such a great discussion talking about just pursuing people, pursuing non-believers, pursuing believers that have decided to fall and just fall away from the Lord, and or maybe never know the Lord, and they thought they did. And it was a great discussion last week, and we were talking even in between because it's so close to all of our hearts. Mm. We've all had people in our life that just don't get it. They don't understand God's love, and they really don't want to pursue it either. So,
Okay. And we talked, I think, right off the recording time. So sorry about that. We have no way of knowing what's going to end up happening with last week's, whether or not it just ended and you didn't know why. And so it's just kind of out there in word oblivion, you know.
I think they call that live radio.
We're so glad that you're back. You know, last week what we did is we storied through some portions of Luke 21 and then gave a general summary of Luke 22, but then honed in at the night of Gethsemane. And just so you know, Gethsemane actually means olive press. And you know what an olive press, you know, an olive, everybody likes olive. Does anybody mm-hmm. like olives? Let's see.
Do you olive guys oil.
Them? Olive oil, yes. Yeah. I love olive oil. Yeah. All right. Well, in historically, they had like this great big huge platform, and you know, and they would go up and they would press down. The first press of the olive, you know, after they took the pit out, the oil was the best. Mm. It was the purest. And so they used that for holy anointing oil. They used that for lamps. And then they also used it for cosmetics because it was mm-hmm. the purest form of the oil. The second press would be what was left of the pulp in the basket. And what they would do is they would press not just the pulp, but they would press the basket as well. Mm. I was so surprised when I was reading in biblical history. If you think about it, the first press is the anointing. The second press was the death even of the basket, the carrier of the oil. That is symbolic of Christ. Mm. And the Mount of Olives. There's so much symbolism yes. involved in that even his body was pressed. Mm. Okay, do you see? Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't just him who brought the oil. It was his body was crushed and pressed as well to bring out what we needed for life. And olive oil is a form of sustenance back then. So just a little bit of extra biblical history that kind of fits in with what we were doing. We really honed in last week on the section of how Jesus prepared the disciples for something. What was he preparing them? He was saying, I want you to pray so that you will not go into
temptation.
And a temptation can be a trial or a tribulation. Now, William Barclay, he actually said that it could be defined as going into an intense battle. The agony that Jesus was about to experience. And so, you know, really being understand, you know, what he's preparing them for, a time of intensity. And the three things that was pressed on my heart as I was preparing this lesson is that there were in that section of the Lord's Supper a betrayer, and the betrayer was who? It was
Judas.
And then there were those that were grasping for greatness, and that's the brothers of Zebedee, and they wanted to sit at the right hand of Christ. And then there was a denial that they were told would happen, and that was Peter. And so I want us to go in a little more depth about that and examine that. If a person is a betrayer, would you call them a sincere follower?
No.
No. How would you describe a betrayer?
Hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Somebody, not trustworthy.
Yeah, someone who is among them mm-hmm. and then changed. And then what does a betrayer typically do? Do they remain, you know, within the group? Judas did.
No.
But what did he do? He left, didn't he?
Yeah, he'd kill mm-hmm. himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He left ultimately, didn't he?
Yeah.
He walked away. And so he just walked away from the group. And my mind was thinking, you know, this is kind of like what they describe as a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, that's the betrayer. And I was reminded of when, you remember when the teaching was getting really hard with Christ, and all of a sudden it said, amongst the multitude of disciples that were with him, many walked away. And Jesus turned and he looked at the ones that were closest to him. We can assume it was the 12 that were a part of this group. That, and he said, will you walk away too? I mean, he flat out asked them that. And I think that that is critical for us to understand, because you remember in Luke 21 and verse 14, 19, and in 36, he was saying to them, prepare yourself. You have to make the choice to stand. Deception is coming. You have to be ready. Because he knew that they could be easily one who could be caught up by the sheep that's in wolf's, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing. And so I started thinking, what is it that might cause me to falter and faint? What is it in your life at times that you have faltered and faint? When it was coming at you, what form of deceptions came that made it difficult? For me, it came the way of a person. And that, you know, before I put so much power in people that I allowed people to lead me astray, to deceive me, to tell me half-truths about the Word of God but not give me the full truth, or to take a biblical passage out of context and not give it in the full context of its meaning. And because I did not know the whole counsel of the Word of God, I didn't know that I was dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I was easily led astray, very easily, because I thought, wow, this person can quote scripture. Well, Satan can quote scripture. And so we have to ask ourselves, what could cause me to become the betrayer, the one that walks away, that becomes a deceiver? And the thing that shocked me is that the disciples all, when Jesus said, one of you who sits amongst us will betray me, the disciples all cried out, scripture says, is it me, Lord?
Right.
Because every single one of them realized it very could easily be could be them.
That's right.
Not one of them thought, oh, it's him. They all thought, it's me. Because all of them were dealing with deception. All of them were dealing with some sort of doubt. All of them were dealing with some form of discouragement. That is how the deceiver works. He comes at us, and he uses a lot of D's to come at us to destroy the truth. And so for me, it was like, wow, they actually thought it could be them. And I know at times I'm like, God, am I the one that's the problem? I've asked that before. It's easy to put us in that place. So we could become the betrayer. And so as I looked at this, I thought, Jesus is wishing forward towards guarding them against temptation, guarding them against deception of the deceiver, guarding them against the wolves. And we encounter the wolves all day long. What are some wolves that you've seen this week? Think about it. Multimedia, TV, music, propaganda, videos, Facebook. I mean, it comes in a lot of different ways. And we have to be able to guard against it. And if I could define the one thing that the betrayer lacks, I would say the betrayer lacks truth. Because scripture says the truth will
set you free.
Okay, so the betrayer doesn't understand what truth is, okay? And I was thinking, okay, if I was to think on the omnis of God, this one doesn't get the omniscience of God. God is all-knowing. He knows what we're doing. He knows. I've been in the dark going and getting these shekels to give him a kiss to send him off. I mean, who am I to think that he doesn't know? God is omniscient. And so the betrayer doesn't know who omniscient God is. And so that's the danger of not knowing the character of God. Because if we don't know the character of God, then we can't guard ourselves. And if we don't know the Word of God, we can't guard ourselves. So it's a lack of truth. Do you guys have anything that your mind's thinking about when you got really silent in here? I need some...
We're like thinking.
Well, I know we're thinking.
It was very profound for me as God was giving this to me. I mean, I could not stop it was coming.
I keep going back to the fact, and I think we even talked about this last time, the lack of the fear of the Lord. Like there's no awe in the Lord anymore. And so when you talk about the omnipotent God and the sovereignty of God, people just don't grasp that. They don't understand it. And it's almost too scary to go down that road. It's just it's just almost safer just to kind of stay where they know and they're comfortable. And so it's, for me, I think I just, it's hard because I'm around so many complacent Christians, or for me, they're like dead. I mean, they go to church on Sunday, but they just don't have any joy. And then they wonder why they can't share their faith with anybody. And I'm like, and it's hard to really, I mean, you can do it in love and share, but you know, when nobody around you is experiencing the love of God, why would they want to know?
Yes.
And it's almost better that they don't say they're Christian, because they're leading these people, like, that's what a Christian looks like. And so I think for me, the temptation to not judge that person and say, I mean, look at your life. You know, there's so much more that God wants to bless you with and give you. And not to have that judgment, like, I'm better because I get it. And, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that, and you just are, I don't know what you're doing, what your deal is. It's really easy to get into that mindset of not, I mean, like almost like a betrayer, to think like, I'm better, and I'm sorry that you live that way, and I'm sorry your church doesn't speak the truth. You know?
Tara has a great devotional out that's on, and the one we just studied was on judgment.
Yeah.
And that's great, because, you know, how we look at people and...
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just me. That's what I struggle with.
Oh, we all do.
Devotional is one anotherness, and it can be found on Amazon.
It's so good. It's really good.
It is very good.
And the difference is that it comes through in the voice of God. I was trying very hard to emulate Sarah Young and Dr. Larry Krebs' style of writing, and writing in the voice of God. It was a very big challenge for me. Big challenge.
You should go get it. It's great.
Thank you, Sandy, for that sweet plug. You know, the second item that really stood out was the grasping for greatness. And I think within the body of Christ, this one is probably our greatest downfall. I think this is the me. Do you hear me? Do you see me? Do you know me? Do you recognize me? Me.
It's the big proud.
Yeah. You know, and what I think is funny is that as I thought on this one, I thought, well, you know, it was those two guys. But then I remembered that all the disciples were indignant that they wanted to sit in that chair. And the thought occurred to me, I have always in my life thought it was because they were just shocked that anybody would ask that. But in reality is they were probably shocked because they wanted it.
And they were jealous. They wouldn't do that too.
I mean, honestly and truly, the shock was probably because they were thinking, that's my seat.
Yeah.
What do you mean your seat? Who do you think you are? I wanted that seat. Is that funny? I never, ever have thought of that before. And this past week at our Bible study, I had asked the question, because of this, the grasping of greatness. Are you more apt to draw into a person if they are crying and in tears and in suffering? Are you more apt to go after and follow when somebody is celebrating and things are great and wonderful? Which one are you more apt to go?
Crying.
Why? Why is it?
I don't know.
We're more apt to minister to somebody in need, right? I had read, and I can't even remember where I read it, but I have been asking this ever since, and I am finding consistently nobody wants to go after the one that's celebrating.
It doesn't make sense, does it? But
And mercy. And the women in our group, I think they summed it up very well. They said it's because, well, I'm jealous.
That's right.
It's like, well, why are they the ones that get to have that? There's something about that time of, look, the celebration of what God is doing, that people don't really care to hear it.
But I think that if I had more people in my life that were celebrating, I would be excited. But I just don't, I don't have a lot of people in my life that are celebrating about anything. But I think I would be just as excited for them as I would be the ones. But unfortunately, I just have around a lot of people that are going through like the worst time of their life right now.
Because we're suffering. We are suffering.
That's what I was going to say. You know, I type up the prayer list for our church, and very seldom do we see a praise. And, you know, a praise is wonderful. So I always put that in great big caps, you know. But, well, because you don't see it very often either, and we need to pray. And after that one lesson with you on praising, that's
why. Yeah, redeemed to praise.
Yes.
Sandy's given all the plugs. Thanks, Sandy. And that redeemed to praise is also available on Amazon.
I'm rejoicing with you.
Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you,
There
God.
You go, celebrator. There you go. Not a hater, celebrator.
That's a celebrator. Well, all right, the difference is that, what would you say that the opposite of a great grasper is? What would you say the opposite? If I'm not grasping to be up front, what would it be that you would say that I'm
running.
A betrayer would be a runner. I'm thinking of
thinking sacrifice.
False humility.
Sacrifice. You guys are going, maybe my question was really bad, but Sandy got my brain lately.
Been a lot of studies with her.
it would be the person who's willing to sacrifice.
And stand back.
Like if I was to have the godly principle that would be the opposite of pursuit of greatness, it would be that I would be a servant.
Okay.
And
okay.
So think about at the Lord's Supper how when Jesus went in and biblical tradition, historical tradition, as they walked in to a place, the servant would wash their feet, okay? None of them were willing to get beneath themselves because it was typically a Gentile servant that would wash the Jew's feet. It would not be a Jew washing another Jew's feet. And so they all chose to sit at the table with dirty, muddy, stinking feet. They did. They chose to sit at the table instead of doing what
the servant.
You would clean your feet before you sat because they laid down. They didn't sit in chairs. They laid down, and your feet would be near people. And seriously.
It's so weird.
It is, but it's reality for them. And so Jesus gets up, and since they didn't, I have this, like the maitre d' mindset. I know that this probably isn't the way it was, but, I can't get out of my time thinking. And I visualize, Jesus in his little tuxedo, getting up and getting the little white cloth and putting it over his forearm and walking up to them with his little basin of water and kneeling down and beginning to wash. I know that that's not reality because he was in his clothes at the time. But that's what he did. He picked up the white washcloth, got the water, and he washed their feet. He became the servant. Mm-hmm. Even though he is the great I am, he became the servant. He became the one that was willing to bow down and clean stinky, dirty, smelly, hairy toes.
And I think that's one of our greatest teachings in the Bible for servanthood.
Mm-hmm. So the opposite of a greatness grasper is to have the mindset to become a servant. To become a servant. And not to have the wrong motives behind what we're doing. It's not about our personal gain. It's not about prestige. It's not about us. It's about having the sensitivity to walk into a setting, to interact with people, and to get out of me. And that is my greatest challenge every moment. I just told my husband last night, we were talking about marriage stuff, and he's mentoring somebody, and I said, well, say it again. And he goes, well, I don't want to repeat something. I go, you know what? Repetition's good. If it weren't for repetition, I'd stay selfish. Mm. We need the repetition that it's not about me. Mm. Less of me, more of him. And so that is important for us to have that in our lives. We're glad you're listening. We want you to come back because you got to get the rest. God bless.